You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Maurice Stable here for what I'm sad to say is our finale after show, though we will be there for the reunion, so this is our finale after show. Thank God I'm joined by my three favorite co-hosts, Jackie Moran and Pamela Peckerman in New York, and the lovely Jessica King in Los Angeles. You see on camera there. Girls, how do you feel about it all coming to an end last night?
I'll let you ladies go ahead.
It's sad, of course. How could you not be sad? It's such a good season, and it hasn't let us down with the drama factor, so it'll definitely be sad to see them go for a little while, but I'm sure there's a lot of other Real Housewives that will be keeping us busy in the meantime, so.
Nothing quite like Beverly Hills, but I think that yesterday's show was a little bit anticlimactical, and I know we're going to get into it as we go through the show, but I think I wanted almost like more detail about the wedding, though I have to say I'm quite proud of Pandora and Lisa that they just kind of did the peripheral and didn't get too personal. So that was nice.
I have to say, I'm quite surprised, though I'm half surprised and I'm half not surprised that Bravo chose to go this route for the finale. My only issue with making the wedding such a huge part of it is that it didn't feel connected to the rest of the season for me. And that was kind of disappointing because I felt like I could have been watching like a wee wedding special. And if it was going to be a wedding special, I kind of wish it was one of the actual housewives rather than one of the daughters, because for me, I didn't really connect to Pandora, even though I think she's wonderful and I think they seem like a great family and I love Lisa. But I just feel like it didn't connect with the rest of the season for me. And I'm not surprised by this, because I saw on the Bravo after show, Watch What Happens Live, that Andy really pushed it in the beginning, saying, what a positive way to end the season. And it was almost like, you know, with all the choices they made this season and what to show and when to air it, it was almost like they thought they were making up for their choices by making such a positive finale, when in fact, to me, it didn't really make any sense to the rest of the season. So I'm kind of torn about it.
Jackie, that's exactly how I feel. I felt like I was watching a wedding special or even a like personal home video of a wedding, or like, you know, like one of those wedding videos that those cameramen at the wedding then present to you to show you what your wedding was like. That's what I felt like I was watching. And I felt like it was totally disconnected from the season. And I was bored. But I have, even though the finale was boring, our after show discussing the finale is going to be anything but boring, because we are filled with exclusive details. And I feel like these details give us some answers as to why they chose the wedding as the finale and why it was so boring. Because I spoke today with Lisa Vanderpump's one and only incredible wedding planner, Kevin Lee. He wishes he could have called in tonight, as he did a few weeks back on our after show. That he was flying back from New York. As you guys saw, he was on Watch What Happens Live last night, and he was on Sirius Radio today. So he is currently flying from New York back to L.A. Before he got on his flight, he called me and shared lots of exclusive details. And I just want to get right into it, because now that we know it, I feel like that will give us all a better sense of why they did what they did, and we can analyze it better. Because one thing that he said, timing-wise, makes sense as to why they did this. The wedding, he said, was on August 23rd. And so that is a couple months after the last couple episodes we've been seeing, and I was wondering why were certain housewives invited and why were certain not invited, because we only saw Camille and Kyle and Adrian. It turns out, Kevin told me, Kim was invited but did not go, most likely because she was in a downward spiral, unfortunately, with her drug problem. And Taylor was invited but did not go because the wedding, being August 23rd, Russell had committed suicide only like 2 weeks before that, and so she did not go. But I felt like we were cheated as viewers because they didn't address that whatsoever. They didn't address the timing of it whatsoever, and we'll talk about that last scene that was shot 3 weeks later that was, like, scrapped together. But I don't know, when he told me about all that, it's like I felt like they were trying to ignore the elephants in the room for the finale. I'll get to the exclusive wedding details as we go into it. But what do you guys think about, like, I don't know, I felt like Bravo was hiding stuff from us.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up because I host the Jersey Shore After Show. We just talked about this last week about how the networks try to hide the fact that, you know, we as the viewer already kind of know what's going on in real life, and we hear the headlines that are happening to these people in their real lives. They're famous, obviously, and we're following their real lives, whether it's Housewives or Jersey Shore or Teen Mom and whatnot. And yet the network still wants to pretend as if those things aren't existing and edit the show as if those things aren't happening. And so it's not fair to us, you know? So something like last night, like, why not address that Taylor couldn't come because it was just after her husband had died? That would have been completely understandable, and it would have made sense for us, and we would have accepted it instead of having all these questions and it just being completely unaligned and just leaving a huge hole of questions, you know? And so I just think it's not fair to us as loyal viewers who are following the storyline and following the headlines and following all of the characters in the show. And I think that the networks need to definitely start being more upfront with us about those things.
Do you ladies think that maybe Taylor had a say in the final edits? Maybe not, you know, exactly, but maybe she kind of came to the team and said, you know what, obviously this has happened, you're going through the edits, can we figure out a way to gloss it over, make it better, I have a child, you know, sort of put it out to them and say, hey, I know you have to put some of this in there, but can we make it safe for me? Can we make it safe for my family? Does anybody think she actually might have done any of that or in any way, shape, or form been involved in that process?
But then why at the end of the episode, you know, briefly bring it up as if everything's fine and it's no big deal? You know, they briefly mentioned that Russell had died, and then Taylor came over and they asked her how she was doing, and she was smiling and she was okay and everything was fun and laughter.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible for Taylor, only because you really have to get a lot of clout and a lot of leverage to be able to have say in the producer's choices. Having signed a reality contract myself in the past with this same network, I would think that you kind of, not, I don't want to say sign your life away, but you pretty much are signing up to give them complete control. And I think it's no different for the Housewives franchise, just because there's so many and there's so many Housewives. I don't think that Taylor would have the power to do that. And I don't think if she really had the power, she wouldn't have shown up with her daughter in her arms so shortly after, I would think. But then again, I don't know what to make of Taylor, so you never know. But also, if she had say, I don't know how much she would have let them show leading up to the event. So I don't think she would have say. I think this was just truly producers getting in a room and having one of the worst nightmares of their life happen as far as the season of this show, and pretty much pulling their hairs out trying to figure out how do we best go about this. And, you know, this last episode being a little example of maybe a brain lapse or misjudgment on their part to try and end things on a positive note after they showed so many details throughout the series or the season. You know, I just think this whole season is the result of like a week of scrambling on the producer's part. And I do feel bad for the producers of this season between Kim and Taylor. They had their hands full.
yeah, the producers definitely have their hands full, and we'll talk about this in news and gossip. Whether we think the producers want to continue to have their hands full next season or whether the girls that are giving them the hassle are getting the boot. But I don't know. I just felt cheated as a viewer that they didn't address it in the finale and then try to, like, neatly wrap up with a bow all the storylines with the little updates at the end. And it was like I just really felt like they were avoiding the big elephant in the room. And just, I don't know, it was frustrating. But let's get into the wedding, because we'll talk about that last scene, which probably at Kyle's house, which probably was the most frustrating for me. But since all we have to talk about except for those last 5 minutes is the wedding, we might as well get into it. What did you guys think? I'll add in Kevin's exclusive details here and there. But personally, I thought it was a beautiful, gorgeous wedding. I hated what Lisa was wearing, the pink dress with the, like, encrusted jewels and the tiara. I thought she looked ridiculous. I thought that Pandora looked beautiful and like a princess. I'll give you Kevin's style updates because you guys are going to be shocked by it. But I wanted to hear all of yours first. What did you think about the style, ladies?
I honestly, and I hate to say this because I think that every bride is, it's true, every bride is beautiful on their wedding day. But I was not a fan of Pandora's dress. I thought it was a little bit antiquated. And for me, personally, I thought it was sort of my worst nightmare of a dress. Almost my worst nightmare of a dress. It can get worse. I think that they made a conscious decision to go with a London-based designer. He's worked with the royal family in the past. So I think that kind of is, maybe they have a friendship connection with him. She obviously loved her dress, and that's the most important thing. I didn't like her dress. I thought Lisa looked great. I didn't care for her dress, but to me, this woman can do no wrong, and I think she was glowing. My favorite, actually, of the housewives was Adria Maloof. I thought her dress was stunning. It was a Nicole Miller. I don't know if you guys remember it, but it's online if anybody wants to take a look at it. And it has this, like, beautiful ruching detail. I thought that it fit her body lovely. She was doing the whole fishtail, which we saw from the Golden Globes, was a big trend. So I liked what she was wearing. I thought the ladies looked great. I just didn't care for the actual fashion styling of the people in the wedding party. That's my two cents.
I have to agree with you, Pamela, on a lot of what you just said. I wasn't a huge fan of Pandora's dress. And I just feel like, as someone who's planning a wedding as well, I think her wedding was everything completely opposite of what I would have planned for myself, which is fine, you know, to each his own. I thought that Lisa's dress looked like she was going to a prom. Definitely not what I would picture my mother to be in for my wedding day, the whole tiara thing. You know, she said that's what Pandora wanted her to wear, so that's their relationship. If that's what she wanted, then that's what she wanted. The decoration was just very, you know, pink, frou-frou. Like, that's definitely her style. It was pretty, but it just, you know, it didn't seem very personalized other than being beautiful and over the top and gorgeous. To be honest, I know you guys mentioned that, it was really boring, and I agree with that. And so I definitely kind of lost myself in my computer a couple times and had to keep rewinding my DVR. So I might have missed a few of the details. I don't really remember what the other housewives were wearing, to be honest. So I can't really comment on that. But yeah, there wasn't a whole lot that stood out to me. Other than I was not a fan of that dress. And I know they kept teasing the dress because it was supposed to be a huge surprise. And I know that they purposely didn't show it when she did go dress shopping earlier in the season. So I really was anticipating seeing what her dress was going to look like, because at that time I was going through the process of trying dresses on as well. And obviously you want to see the dress, and that's the most beautiful part and my favorite part personally. And I was just not a fan at all.
Well, it's interesting because you mentioned they showed that sneak peek of the dress trying on process. And from that, I knew she was going to go frou-frou. So I wasn't shocked when she came down the steps. By the way, I have to give a lot of these women, let me just say, I will give them all a lot of credit, because Lisa walked down the aisle by herself. She did not have a man's arm. Pandora walking down that spiral staircase, or that big staircase for the reveal, with no help. You got to give them credit, because it is hard to walk in gowns. So that I will certainly give them. But judging from the preview, I knew she was going to go frou-frou, so I wasn't surprised. So I knew I wasn't going to love the style. Like, I wasn't surprised, and I didn't love what she tried on in that preview, and then it was like a continuation of that. Though, I think there were a couple of other choices in that preview that I would have preferred to the one she actually ended up in. But as you said, Pamela, maybe she has a connection. You never know how that went down. And so I kind of just passed off on it. I wasn't super wowed. Again, not my taste either. I thought it was very kind of typical. But Lisa's the one who I was surprised by, because I think she normally, as you guys said, can do no wrong. But to me, I just wrote in huge letters, like, bling, because it was like almost, it was too much bling. I think she had the huge encrusted, you know, top portion. I think it was the top left portion or the top right portion. And then another huge thing of encrusted jewels. It took away, the one took away from the other. I wish they would have just done it in one spot for a huge impact. And that would have, I think, really made Lisa all come together. It was just too much. And then I was shocked myself that I actually agree with you, Pamela. I loved the way Adrian looked. She pulled it off. And women have such a hard time dressing for weddings, because you have so much to think about, like Camille considering, oh, I can't wear pink because of Lisa, and I can't wear this because I don't want it to stand out too much. So women getting dressed for a wedding usually find that a great challenge. And out of everybody, I really agree that I thought Adrian, when I saw her come on camera, I was like, wow, she looks great. And she's the only one that I really thought looked great without taking away from the event.
Camille, when you said that she was like, I can't wear pink, that was just hilarious to me, because most women, they can't wear white at a wedding. It's just an unspoken rule. You don't wear white, only the bride wears white. And, like, of course, you also can't wear pink because that's the colors of the wedding. But I wanted to share Kevin Lee's scoop on the style, which might surprise the viewers. He said that Lisa's dress was very pretty and that he thought the tiara was very sweet. And in a shocker that I can't believe he told me this, but I'm sharing exclusively with our AfterBuzz TV listeners, he said, quote, Pandora's gown was hideous. It was very English and poofy, nothing stylish at all, but she enjoyed it. That's all that matters. So there you go. That's your, wow. That's your
Don't
style
hold back
scoop from Kevin.
Don't hold back your words at all there, Kevin. I wonder how Lisa's going to feel when she hears that. But look, I mean, you know, it's his opinion, and he obviously stated it, shishi-foo-foo. I will say, just in terms of talking, we were talking about the actual decor of the wedding. I thought the decor of the wedding and the execution was stunning. I loved the flower arrangements. It was a little bit over the top, but it did have that English roses romance feel to it. I think that he did a phenomenal job. I would love to work with him someday. I just thought that the wedding was beautiful, and his team did a great job. And I'd like to add that I think that the date that they chose was fabulous. August 23rd is a wonderful day to get married. I highly recommend it. That's my wedding day.
Well, it is the day before my birthday as well.
Oh, there you go. Well, so it's interesting having us all sit and dissect the details of this wedding, only because listening to Kevin, he basically said that that's probably the last thing Pandora would want. He said, when I asked him what he thought of the wedding, he said that honestly he wanted it on a grander scale, of course, being Kevin being Kevin, but he said Pandora didn't want a TV show kind of wedding. She said, no, I want a private wedding. This is a wedding for me and not for the TV show. So, you know, I have to applaud her there, and I'm glad that there was no drama at the wedding. So while Tyke Taylor and Kim were invited, I think it was kind of a blessing in disguise that they didn't go. And I don't know, I feel bad that we're sitting there dissecting her dress and things like that when she doesn't strike me as one of those girls who wants to be dissected like that.
Well, I love the fact that Adrian and Paul boogied down all night. So it looked like everyone had a blast, which is all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. Actually, my favorite thing about hearing that feedback is that portion on Pandora, because I so applaud that, you know, the fact that she's coming from being the daughter of a reality star. Usually kids or, you know, daughters and sons would love to steal that spotlight, and she's obviously grounded and so raised so well that she was actually like, no, I don't want that. I want this to be real. And so it's kind of ironic that they made it the finale episode and made that the center of attention, but I do applaud her for sticking to that. And you could tell they definitely filmed it differently. The lighting was different. The video style was different. And I actually liked the lighting and the style. Like, that was actually my favorite thing about the episode. So I applaud her for that. That's actually my favorite detail of all.
I agree, Jackie. I think the filming, the last, I think it was maybe 10 minutes or so of the actual wedding portion of last night's episode, to me felt like it wasn't even Bravo TV filming, but that this was footage that they took from the
videographer or something.
Jason's professional. Sorry?
Like it was from the videographer or something.
That's what I thought. Either that or you know, Bravo just made it look that way. But it was like, it was from a distance. It wasn't in their face. There was no, you know, camera crew or mics up in the, you know, the priestly area where they were getting married. I thought it was very tasteful. And I do agree that I sort of feel bad dissecting the wedding, because I feel like she sort of, Pandora just agreed to like a morsel. Just like, okay, here you go. You can film this, this, and this, and that. And, you know, she didn't sign on for this. So I sort of want to deal with it a little bit with kid gloves.
But, you know, when you were saying that you felt like it was a videographer, you liked it, that's why I didn't like it. I felt like I was watching, like, someone's personal videos from a wedding as opposed to Bravo. And I don't know, it just felt so different to me from the rest of it. But I do want to share what Kevin had to say about the wives, because I grilled him on things other than the wedding. I asked him, who's his favorite housewife? And he said, of course, Lise is my favorite. She's a wonderful, very nice lady. And he also told me about Ken, because I was like, Ken, I thought, was absolutely adorable in the episode last night. And he said, Ken is a very nice gentleman. He just says yes to whatever Lisa wants. He loves her. And then when he was telling me this, he goes, he's kind of like your dad, because when Kevin was planning my sister's wedding, obviously it was whatever my mom wanted, and my dad said yes. And so it gave me a sense of what Ken is like. Sounds like a nice man. And then finally I asked him about Adrian and Lisa, because he knows both of them, and, you know, we'll get into this, but it seems like there's some sort of rivalry between them, or fights, or drama, and while I personally think this is Bravo produced, I did want to ask him about it, and he said he thinks the caliber of lifestyle for the two of them, because they're the two richest, they tend to get competitive. So I can see that. But for the most part, I feel like Bravo producers are stirring up this drama, because Lisa and Adrian seem like they're above and beyond it. Like, I don't think they would fight about stupid things like they have been on the season. And so that's my personal opinion. What do you guys think?
I think that they're the two most level-headed people. I agree with you, Mari. If they are bickering about something, then something must have happened after filming that we don't know about, because I just feel like they really see the real details of a situation, and they're not going to the petty aspects of it. So I'm sort of not buying it. But we'll see next week in the reunion.
I have to agree. We have discussed them being the most level-headed of the group, and I can't see them bickering over stupid things. But I have noticed, and I was thinking of this, I think a few weeks ago when I was watching, but I think last season I did notice that they seemed closer, and they were shown spending a lot more time together previously. And so maybe, like you said, Mari, it could be a Bravo thing. Maybe it's placement, or maybe they're not being, I don't know, scheduled to spend as much time together. But I just feel like we used to see them together a lot more, whether it was one walking across the street to the other's house or whatnot. And I feel like we don't see as much of that this season.
Yeah, I think I can totally see what Kevin is saying. I think it would be natural that there would be some level of competition between the two because they're just such strong-headed, level-headed, I'll give them, but strong-headed individuals and very successful. And you know, I think they really have a lot of ambition behind them and strength. And I wouldn't be surprised if they just try and pick up on that power struggle and stir it up on the producer end. But I don't think they're petty enough to really get into anything deep, you know. I think they're too smart for that.
I think they both have too much going on in their own lives to worry about anything stupid.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But I do want to talk about the other parts of the show before we get into news, because we have a lot of news to talk about and a lot of predictions to get to. I quickly want to mention that Paul's colonoscopy. At first, I was thinking, I was like, is the show really this boring that they have to show him getting a colonoscopy? But then when he was sitting there farting over and over and he was out of it, I was like, okay, maybe this is why they showed it, because it's absolutely
so funny.
Hilarious. I know. It was like the one moment of, like, hilarity in the episode. But let's get into that weird ending. It was like, Kyle, you see the end of the wedding, and then you see it saying 3 weeks later. And then you see Kyle in a confessional saying, you know, I haven't seen Taylor since Russell died. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to get interesting. I think I actually tweeted that. I was like, this is going to get interesting. But then all the girls got together and Taylor walked in and no one talked about it. And they were sitting there like laughing over wedding photos and laughing over Camille's boyfriend. And I was like, wait a second. I'd hope that confessional was filmed afterward, or that like this scene was not indeed filmed before Russell killed himself, or after Russell killed himself, because if he did, then I felt like all the wives were totally glossing over it. It was just a really, really weird and bizarre scrap together ending, I thought. It just didn't make sense whatsoever.
When I was watching it, I wrote the word odd, and I agree with you, Mari. But it's funny because now listening to you say it, I just think it's very difficult to judge how somebody mourns. And so maybe what they were doing in that scene, and I personally obviously don't think it should have been filmed, but it's somehow comforting her via distraction. So let's look at Adrian's shoes, and let's look at Lisa's wedding pictures. So I think that was the reason for that. The back end of it, from the friend's perspective, is sort of, let's not necessarily gloss it over, but let's give her a distraction. And I also think that, and I know that when you're first mourning, you don't really realize what's going on. So everything becomes more painful as time goes on. So that could have been the reason why we sort of see Taylor the way, and the whole scene the way act.
Well, now that we know when the wedding was, which is that it was August 23rd, then we know that this was filmed 3 weeks later. So what, the second week of September, which is about a month after Russell died? I don't know. That's so weird to me that it was like so fake. It's very, very weird.
I think they, from Paul's colonoscopy to, all right, let's slice in some videographer footage of Pandora's wedding to, all right, let's make a real stitched together scene where nobody can talk about anything, but, you know, kind of all just get together and sit there and be friends, you know, be there for Taylor. Definitely. Again, I'm just going to go back to my thing, like, what can we scrap together? This is producers in a room being, like, panicked. Like, we have, you know, one more show to get through. What are we going to do here? I really think this was just thrown in the face of the producer. I'm telling you, this is just scrambling here. And they probably couldn't talk about it on air at this point, maybe, whatever investigation was going on or whatnot. They probably could not get into discussion on air is what I'm thinking. And as I think, Pamela, you called it perfectly, where it's like they were kind of just making it like, what would you do on the first time going out to see your friends? You know, like, how would they act? Okay, let's all act this way. So I think, you know, I think that's definitely what I saw. And as I always say, the camera does not lie and you can see right through it. And this was why maybe the episode should not have been aired so quickly. And certainly,
just to go on back to Paul's colonoscopy for a second, he also called in to watch What Happens Live, and they kind of pimped him out as being a great doctor and all this doctor stuff, so I'm just waiting for that Dr. Paul show to come out, because I have a feeling that's coming.
To be honest, you know, it was, like you guys said, it was completely odd, and it didn't make any sense, but I can't say that I was totally shocked. It seems like it just came full circle, judging from how the season started and everyone was kind of on edge. And like you said earlier, they wanted to obviously end on a positive note. But just judging from how the episode was going, like I mentioned before, I was totally bored. So by the time that part of the episode started airing, I was looking at my clock like, geez, what time is it? Like, is this wedding stuff going to take up the entire episode? And that portion of the episode didn't start until 9:51. And so I knew that there was no way that they were going to hit the hard stuff in 9 minutes. And so I was just like, all right, well, where is this going to take us? And so I wasn't completely shocked that that's the route that they took. But like you guys said, it was odd and it didn't make any sense. But what else can you do? What can you expect from them at that point, you know?
Quick question. This wedding took place August 23rd. Does anybody know approximately when this scene, the last 9 minute scene, took place?
Well, they said 3 weeks later, which would mean that it would be the second week of September, which would mean a month after Russell's suicide.
Well, this episode aired on, what was it, like September? The season aired on September 5th or something like that, right? So it had to be around that time.
So it has to have been.
Well, I would have preferred is if they had, you know, in the first episode of the season, they had all the wives very frankly talking about the suicide without Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred something like that, because that was a lot more honest with viewers than this was.
I think that this was a cap ending that they filmed after the season was actually finished. I have a feeling that the season was actually supposed to end just with the wedding, and then they threw this in. Because I'm trying to remember, in September, like mid-September, the ladies were on Anderson Cooper's show. And there was no mention, like basically they were just trying to figure out how is the season going to end, is it appropriate. I think that this little morsel of the last 10 minutes of the segment of yesterday's show was filmed after the actual season ended as a cap to explain what happened. I don't think it ever was intended to be part of it. Meaning, I mean, obviously nobody knew who was going to die, but I don't think it was ever intended to end this way.
The only reason why I think it was is because all of the franchises, all the Real Housewives franchises, always end with, like, all the girls together, and then, like, a sidebar where it updates what they're doing now. They always end that way, and because all the ones weren't at the wedding, maybe, like, this was the only way they could do it. I don't know.
Well, we could also see, you know, when Camille started dating her new guy. I mean, if they were even dating at that time, or if it was later in the season.
Ooh, good point, yeah.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of news about what's going to happen with this cast. So let's go to a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back for some exclusive news and gossip.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you. A lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
AfterBuzz TV news.
Okay, so let's go through a roundup, basically. This is a mix of news and predictions, because we don't know for sure. But I'm just going to go through a roundup of what we know of girls for next season. So Camille did give an interview saying that she hasn't been asked back yet and that they are recasting. She said, quote, "I had a good year, so I would want to go back for a third season, but they haven't asked me yet, so I wonder what's going on with that. I guess they decided who they want, and I guess they're going to start casting, looking for new housewives. They told me they were going to start looking, so it wasn't behind my back. They were like, sorry, we're doing a big casting call. I was like, thanks." This is my spin on it. I believe they are doing a casting call, but I don't think it's to replace Camille. We'll get into the other girls, but as for Camille, I think she's here to stay because she's not too dramatic to the point that it's a hassle for Bravo, and she's still interesting because we haven't gotten into so much of the Camille storyline about her dating again, and, you know, I don't know, and with Kelsey and the twins now, I really have a feeling that Camille is going to be back, and I want her to be back. So let's talk about Camille first, and we'll get into the other girls.
Well, I agree that we haven't gotten into a lot of her personal life, but I think Camille learned her lesson from the first season, and so I think that she consciously doesn't want to get into a lot of her personal life. And so if the producers see that, then, you know, they don't see her as an interesting character. And so she was completely under the radar this season. I mean, you know, she attended all the events and she had her little tiff with Taylor for a little bit, but there wasn't a whole lot about her that stood out this season. And so, you know, if they can cast do a casting and find more Brandies out there, then what are they going to need the Camilles for? Like, I mean, that's the way I see it. Like, I think that the show could probably do without Camille if Camille is going to continue to remain low key.
I have to disagree. I think that Camille would be a big miss if she did, in fact, not come back, because not only I'm biased because I absolutely fell in love with her when we interviewed her at the Emmys gift suite, but I think she represents a core, and, you know, your audience, you don't want to alienate your audience from, unless it's like the Taylor and the Kims of the group who are really a mess. I don't think you want to get rid of too many wives, and I think they're going to run into some trouble with a couple of the other ones, and I think Camille is someone who really represents what you picture when you think of a real housewife, and I think of Beverly Hills, and I think that would be a big mistake.
I agree. If we don't have any Camille, I mean, we're never going to see the rest of Dimitri.
I know. We need to see this Greek god, right?
Absolutely.
I think she was just getting back into her groove, dancing with Brandy, her new hot man. I think she would be great next season.
Okay, so now let's turn to Lisa. Because we've been talking about spinoff news, and I have a confirmation now. Bravo has taped a pilot with her for her own show and is now deciding if they want to greenlight a full series based around her family and her life. Apparently, the pilot was about the reopening of Soar. I think they opened a second location. So what we saw on the show was the reopening of a current store, and what would be on the pilot is opening another branch.
I think that they had
filmed a pilot.
I think Sir always existed, and what we saw on the show, she had extended it. They had made it bigger.
But in terms of the pilot, I'm saying what we saw on the show was redoing the current location, and what's going to be in the pilot is the new restaurant, the second location of it. I'm not sure if just because she has a spinoff means she's not going to be on the show anymore. I know that in the past, when Bethany had a spinoff, that means she was off the main show because she wanted to be. I don't know.
Well, because she wasn't getting along with...
Is it too much for Lisa to have a spinoff and have her on Real Housewives Season 3?
I don't think I'd want her to leave the main Beverly Hills Housewives franchise. If she was getting a spinoff and it goes well, I want to see both. So I want to see
maybe from the spinoff, her background, her business, how she comes in and does everything from, you know, fluff the flowers to, you know, tell the waiters and the staff what to do. I want to see her as the businesswoman, but I want to see her on the other show as well, the main show. So hopefully they'll keep her on both.
I agree. I love Lisa with, like, interacting with the other girls. And with Bethany, I think, wasn't she not getting along with the other girls, and they were all fighting, and her and Jill's relationship and everyone was just going downhill? But yeah, I would love to have Lisa do both. And I think she could be great both on her own show and still on the Housewives show.
Absolutely. No matter what, I do not want to lose her on the main show.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of Kim, don't know what's happened, but she is in rehab, and the New York Daily News printed an article saying that they thought that Kim was on the chopping block because in a casting application that had been sent out, it asks a lot of questions, like, have you had a restraining order, or have you had a felony or misdemeanor charge? And then it asks, have you done anything that could embarrass us? And so I think that Bravo is over these stars that are too much hassle than they're worth, and we'll get into Taylor, because I have exclusive scoop on Taylor. But in terms of Kim, both for her own personal health and for the sake of Bravo, I think it's going to be a mutual decision on both ends, but Kim should not be back on the show. I would be very shocked if she was back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've heard mixed stories about her, whether she's coming back or not. I've heard that she needs the money, and so she's trying to come back. And then I've heard, you know, stories that she shouldn't come back and she needs to work on her health. And so it'll definitely be interesting to see how everything pans out with that situation.
Let's replace her with Kathy. I keep saying this all the time. Let's bring in the older sister. Let's bring in the Hilton. It's going to be fabulous. That's my wish.
I love that idea.
Bravo. Actually, I think that idea is really good, too. We should tell Bravo, bring on the other sister. And then we get the whole Hilton aspect of it. I think that's brilliant.
Sister swap.
And as we said, Mari, she went on television with Brooke Mueller, so she's definitely willing to stoop to this level.
No, this is a massive upgrade.
Exactly.
Right, so let's get into Taylor. I have a big prediction that I honestly think that she is not going to be invited back, and I wrote about this for the Huffington Post. Basically, she's in a ton of legal shit right now, and Bravo alluded to it in her update at the end, because they said something like, Taylor is currently going through financial and legal trouble. The problem is her legal troubles are most likely spilling over to Bravo, and they don't want to deal with that and get involved with her legal drama anymore. Basically, Russell, just before he killed himself, was sued by a company called My Medical Record, that he had been the largest shareholder of the company a few years earlier, and then he sold shares of the company illegally. And basically took investor money and laundered it, and he did a lot of shady shit. So anyways, he was sued originally because of that, but they worked out a settlement that he would be removed from the board, no longer be a shareholder, but on the condition that he had to provide the list of all the individuals and places that he had sold shares of the company to. He never did that. So he was sued for breach of contract right before he killed himself in a $1.5 million lawsuit. Who gets left with the brunt of the lawsuit? But Taylor. And now Taylor is claiming basically that she doesn't have the money to pay, and media reports are acting as if left her broke and everything. And this is when Bravo gets dragged in, because now My Medical Records is going to be going after Bravo, because in an interview, the CEO of the company basically was saying, where are the millions of dollars that flowed through their bank accounts and pockets? He said, he said, what about sponsorships, personal appearances, fees, reimbursements as a result of being on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? What about her consulting business, which they discussed on the show? And so it looks like Bravo Sex are going to be dragged into this to have to answer these questions. And the trial is set for July. So it could, I highly doubt it, but it could get to the point where they bring Bravo Sex in to testify. And so at this point, I think that they are trying to get far, far away from her and all her drama. And I think that she's going to get the truth.
Wow. I think it would be in Bravo's best interest to stay as far away from Taylor and her drama as possible.
I have been saying this all season, and I certainly hope that this is the case, because I am really, really done with watching Taylor on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I say, you know, let's not say she's out of the game. Let's give her a sabbatical for a season and see what happens.
Yeah, well, from the comments I got on my article, most people are sick of Taylor, and they'd be happy to see her go, it sounds like. But let's get into the last two, because I don't have any specific news as to whether they're coming back, Kyle and Adrian. I just would be shocked if they didn't, because I've never known them to recast an entire season. You know, they kicked off four was the most at one time with Real Housewives of New York. And Kyle is like the mainstay of the show, and Adrian is nothing but a pleasure to work with, it seems like, and nothing, no drama for producers, and she's consistent storylines, you know, her and Paul and things like that. So I would really be shocked if they didn't come back. And I have to say, I think Brandy is going to come back. She made a joke on Watch What Happens, or she made a joke basically saying, like, oh, if they give you $1 million, I'll come back. But then she basically said, yeah, it was fun. I liked doing it. So I think she'll come back. And I think bad news for Dana. You know, she was like started out so strong and then wasn't in it at all in the end. But I think Brandy's coming back from Kyle and Adrian. What do you guys think?
Absolutely agree.
Oh, and I finally saw Kyle's commercial. I think one of you guys brought it up last
week.
And that was actually the most exciting part of the episode last night. So I really liked it. She did a good job. I liked it a lot.
It was funny.
All right. Well, let's get into some predictions for the reunion, because it seemed awfully juicy.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, so I read that Angela said that Taylor did not cry when discussing Russell and everything. So that will be interesting to see, because I find that hard to believe, because she's waterworks all the time. But he said that she was very strong during the reunion show, so I'm curious to see that. And I'm curious to see Kyle in the preview was saying something like, oh, and that was so staged. Her talking about something being staged, and I don't know what she's referring to.
Hmm.
Did you guys catch that?
I didn't catch that. I just, you know, I feel like with the reunion, I feel like they teased to things. Obviously, they wanted to look like a very drama-filled reunion, but I feel like the people who would have caused the most drama, I don't know. Like, I feel like even though they tried to piece together some major drama, like, I feel like some reunions go really haywire. Do you guys think this one is going to go really crazy? Because I don't know if I see it going so crazy.
I agree. I don't see it being super over the top. I'm actually wondering how they're going to make it into two parts, because Kim's not going to be there, and she was a main part of the drama. And it seems like, you know, the Taylor-Camille thing kind of boiled over. So I'm kind of wondering how it's going to get crazy as well. So I don't really have a whole lot of predictions. I'm just excited to see what goes down.
Maybe it'll just be a fabulous party.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for our finale show. And thank you to Kevin Lee from LA Premiere for giving us all the details. And everyone join us same time, same place next week for our reunion special. So Jessica, Pamela, and Jackie, thank you so much, and I can't wait to discuss the reunion.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.